Well, good morning, church. Happy Sabbath. You know, there's an old saying, and this saying was turned into a song at some point by a country singer named Aaron Tippin. But I'm sure that this church, you probably don't know the song, but I'm sure you know the saying. It starts out, maybe you can finish it for me. You have to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. 250 years ago, there was a group of men gathered in a room discussing the tyranny that their families were facing. They didn't want war. They didn't want rebellion. They wanted reconciliation, and they tried, and they tried, and they tried, and they tried. And the men came to a room one day, and these men, as they're discussing, there was a man that stood up among them. His name was Patrick Henry. Does anybody know who Patrick Henry is? Yeah. Patrick Henry, it was his turn to come up to the dais and speak. And as he spoke, his words were not recorded live in that moment, but they've gone back and they've collected the testimonies of the people that were there. And this is what he said. He said, "Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God, I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Now, I don't know if Patrick knew it at the time, but he was actually giving a biblical principle. You see, at the end of time, there are two resurrections. There is the resurrection of life, right? And a lot of times we say that, well, that's the rapture. That's when Jesus comes and he raises the dead in Christ and the living in Christ and he takes them to heaven, right? That's the rapture. 1,000 years later, there's another resurrection. What's that one called? The resurrection of condemnation, right? So basically, whether he knew it or not, he was quoting that bondage to liberty leads to life. But bondage to sin leads to death. Beloved, today we're going to talk about a journey, a very special journey. Let's take just a moment here and bow our heads and pray and ask God to be present with us as we journey through His Word. Heavenly Father, we just ask for your presence this morning. Lord, words are cheap, but your words are words of life. Feed us the bread of life this morning, Lord. Help us to focus on you, to hear what you're saying to us in your message today. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, you all know it, this year marks the 250th year since the signing of the Declaration of Independence in 1776. It's a fitting time to thank God for the blessings of liberty while remembering that true freedom is never merely political. It's ultimately spiritual. Now, the story of America is not the story of ancient Israel. We should not equate any modern nation with God's covenant people. Yet, Scripture offers timeless principles about freedom and justice and responsibility and dependence upon God. The Exodus reminds us that God is the one who delivers people. He delivers people from bondage, and he calls them to a faithful living. Freedom is God's gift. But faithful obedience is our response to that gift. Church, let's open our Bibles this morning. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Exodus. We're going to be starting here this morning in Exodus chapter 13, and we're going to start by looking at verse 3 together. Exodus, what chapter did I say, church? 13. Exodus chapter 13. Again, we're going to be looking at verse 3 together. Beloved, God is the author of true freedom. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 3, and Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place." You see, beloved, Israel did not free themselves. Now you tell me, church, who delivered Israel from slavery? God delivered them. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 2, starting in verse 23 through 25, "Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning." God hears our what, church? God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God goes on then to confront injustice against his people, and he leads them out of captivity into freedom, true freedom. Now, beloved, the political liberty that we have in America, that we've had for 250 years, is so valuable. God has blessed us. He's blessed this country. But beloved, spiritual liberty is eternal. Let's look at John chapter 8 together. Turn with me there. John, what chapter, church? John chapter 8. The Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 8, verses 35 through 36. Now, when someone gets there, whoever gets there first, tell me, what color is the text, beloved?
Red.
Right? If the text is red, who's speaking?
Jesus
replied, "Truly, truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Now, help me out, church. Everyone who sins is a what?
A slave.
Right? A slave to what? Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. In other words, you sin because your flesh is being ruled by sin. Jesus continues, "A slave does not remain in the house forever, but a son remains forever." You see, beloved, back when slavery was legal, rather that's biblical slavery or American slavery, back when slavery was legal, the slave only came into the house temporarily to serve. And after they worked and finished their work, they left the house. In other words, their time in the master's house was limited at best. A slave does not remain in the house forever, but a son remains forever. A son has rights. A son has an inheritance. A son can speak for the master. So if the son sets you free, you are free indeed. Let's try that again. If the Son of God, Jesus Christ, sets you free, you're what, church? Beloved, have you ever read Nehemiah chapter 9? What I love I mean, Nehemiah's, the whole book is great, but what I love about Nehemiah chapter 9 is it's basically, don't hold me this, it's not a complete summary, but it's basically a summary of the Old Testament. When you boil it down, Nehemiah chapter 9 has two main points. The first point is that God is gracious. No matter what is going on, God is gracious. And the second point is that we are constantly messing up. Why is that there? I believe that it's because it's the key to our mental health. It's the key to our spiritual health. You see, the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Every one of us messes up sometimes. And at the point that you have messed up, if you have a fear-based relationship, you're going to end up tearing yourself apart, and it makes you worse. It ultimately can undermine your spiritual condition. But if you have a picture of God who never turns his back on you, no matter what you have done, you repent and you turn around and he's right there, already present, facing you, looking at you. When you start to see God in that way, then you see that God has the power to set you free. As we celebrate 250 years of national freedom, let us also celebrate even more the freedom that Christ provides from sin. But beloved, just as we celebrate Christ, freedom requires remembering. Moses repeatedly commanded, remember. Throughout Exodus and Deuteronomy, God's people were instructed never to forget where they came from or who delivered them. You see, beloved, anniversaries invite gratitude. Remember, remember, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Remember God's providence. Remember the sacrifices of the previous generations. Remember blessings that we often take for granted. Remember what Jesus did for you on that cross. Both a nation or a people, an individual, who forgets its dependency upon God becomes vulnerable to pride. I want you to imagine with me, if you will, a young family visiting the Liberty Bell today. Right? It's America's 250th year anniversary. The children are gazing at the Liberty Bell, and they notice something immediately. Mom, Johnny asks, why is it cracked? And Mom explains that although the bell is cracked and it no longer rings, she explains it still speaks. She says, you see, Johnny, cast upon the bell are words from Scripture. It says, proclaim liberty throughout all of the land and to all inhabitants thereof, Leviticus 25:10. Johnny pauses for a moment and he says, so the bell doesn't ring anymore, but its message still does? That's right, Johnny. Exactly, Mom says. The purpose of the bell was never simply to make noise. It was to remind a nation of a greater truth that liberty is precious and it must never be taken for granted. We must remember the journey. The same was true for Israel. Every Passover, every memorial, every feast, every Sabbath was God's way of saying, don't forget what I've done for you. But remembering God's deliverance was never meant to end in celebration alone. It was meant to inspire obedience. You see, gratitude is only complete when it changes the way we live. Amen. After Israel left Egypt, they did not receive freedom merely to do whatever it was that they wished. If that was the case, there would have been no problem when they worshiped the golden calf. Liberty and obedience belong together. They walk together. True freedom is not doing whatever feels right, rejecting all authority and living without moral boundaries. That is not true freedom. True freedom is living according to God's design. America's future depends not only on political institutions, but upon the character of its people. What that means, beloved, is that gratitude, true gratitude, will lead to faithfulness. Throughout Israel's history, when they remembered God, they prospered spiritually. When they forgot him, bondage eventually returned. History repeatedly teaches us that freedom without righteousness cannot endure. As believers, we're called to be faithful citizens, faithful neighbors, faithful disciples, a faithful witness unto God. But not to America. Our highest citizenship is God's kingdom. Jesus was praying for his people in John chapter 17, and in verse 14, he says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For their what, church? Let's try that again. For what, church? For they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I am not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Beloved, we are sojourners in a fallen world. Now, the Bible doesn't stop there. Let's turn together one more time. Let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. You'll want to see this for yourself this morning. You want to see this in God's word. Philippians, what chapter, church? Three. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians, the third chapter. And we're going to be looking, well, we're going to look at several scriptures here. But let's start out in verse 18 this morning. Philippians chapter 3. Starting in verse 18, if you're there, say amen. Amen. The book of Philippians was written by the apostle Paul with Timothy. And while Paul, we believe it was written while Paul was imprisoned in Rome. And he tells the church in Philippi, he says, for as I have often told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, beloved, Paul is talking to the church. He's not talking to atheists. He says, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is where, church? Our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body, the day of glorification. Beloved, one day we will be like him. Amen. Now, the Bible teaches respect for earthly governments while remaining believers that our ultimate allegiance belongs to Christ. Beloved, to live in America is a blessing. Amen. It is a blessing. But do not forget, heaven is our home. Our mission is larger than any nation. Our mission is to proclaim the everlasting gospel, to prepare people for Christ's soon return, and to reflect his character wherever we go. Israel stood on the edge of a new future. America stands at an important milestone. But every generation must choose for themselves whom they will serve. The Exodus reminds us God delivers, God leads, God provides, God calls his people to faithful obedience. The greatest freedom is not found in a declaration signed by human hands, but in salvation secured by the cross of Christ. As we celebrate 250 years of American history, may we also renew our commitment to the Lord who alone gives us lasting liberty. Amen. Today, let us remember the journey and thank God for the blessings of freedom while renewing our commitment to Christ. May we remember, or may we believe, remember is the better word. May we remember his mighty acts. May we cherish his liberty that he's given us and use them to proclaim the everlasting gospel until Jesus returns. Not everyone can do that freely. We can. Let us pray that God will continue to guide us and strengthen his church and prepare our hearts for his eternal kingdom. Can we do that?
Amen.
Beloved, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing of being here. Lord, there are so many across the world right now that to proclaim you is to invite active and open persecution. To claim you is to invite death. Lord, may we have the same spirit as our forefathers. Let us proclaim, give me liberty or give me death. Let us stand boldly with you, Lord. Let us proclaim your word. Let us proclaim the good news that Christ has come, that he's delivered us from sin, and that one day he will return to take us home. Beloved, Heavenly Father, there are so many hurting. Father, there are so many that are seeking you. Give us the desire to set them free, to introduce them to you, to show them a better way. Father, be with us as we go out to our families and we celebrate this anniversary with our brethren in this country. But do not let us forget where we came from and who our allegiance belongs to. We ask and pray these things in Jesus' holy and precious name.